We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. Joining me, as always, my man over there in beautiful New York City, the week before the season, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how you doing?
I think we're in the season, technically. Even if you ignore week zero because it's not a full regular week, we're in week one. This is the week one run-up, right?
Did you get into the later start or the later finish to the week zero game? Were you awake for that?
Ty, let's back up. Was I awake for the second half of Florida-Miami? The answer is a resounding no. The answer is a full-on, it's halftime. I was at a hotel on the Jersey Shore. I had just finished C-minus pizza and said to myself, I have a limited amount. You know when you play an RPG, you have this much life, this much health, this much stamina, this much weaponry, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
As a newly minted father and just general old man, I have so many late night college football nights just available to me this season.
Yeah.
Was I going to waste it on week zero? I was not. So I just found the full versions of both Florida, Miami, and then Arizona, Hawaii the following day and watched at my own leisure and now have many, many thoughts.
Absolutely. As do I. I will say, as not a new father,
yeah,
but a resident of a new state in which sports gambling is now legal.
Oh, okay. This is going to change the dynamic.
I may have had a rooting interest in the final moments of that Florida-Miami game. Wow. And let me tell you,
both, man, final moments were great, but yeah.
Both were great, but the Florida-Miami one, from an over-under standpoint, had real significance. And brother, I aged about 15 years on that last sequence, which we can get into here momentarily if we want to talk about that. But
yeah,
an interesting occurrence of events on both fronts, really, no matter which game you were into. Mm-hmm. We are going to go through news on this show. We're going to talk about those two games very quickly, as well as some of the new starting quarterbacks that have been named in the run-up to week one. And then we are going to cover the group of five. Now, we haven't done the full deep dive of like 60 group of five teams.
Correct.
Instead, what we've done is go through and look at, okay, who are the top dogs? Who are some of the contenders, the pretenders? And we're going to try to cover it from that perspective because I know y'all love the show. We love the show, too. There are only so many hours in the day. We can't cover all the teams.
We've received, since January, we've received an email, maybe five emails a day, strictly asking when we were going to deep dive the Tulsa Golden Hurricane.
Of course.
And we've been putting it off.
We have.
And we've been putting it off. I think the deep dive will be next year. I think the deep dive on Tulsa will be next year. But, well, first of all, do we have housekeeping? Do we want to get into week zero? What is the order of operations here?
Well, first and foremost, the order of operations is we've been waiting to throw this one out into the podcastosphere for a couple weeks, but the Wondery news, we talked about the Wondery news. We're very excited to be joining the Wondery Podcast Network. It's exciting for us. What it means, though, is if you're listening at home, and we always get this, how can we help? Here's how you can help. Go to Wondery.com/survey. That's Wondery.com/survey. And there's a survey there. You can fill it out. You'll have the opportunity to talk a little bit more about our show and what you like about it, what you'd like to hear more of, and also give us a sense for what you're into and not into. It'll help make the show a better experience moving forward. Again, the show's not changing much, but that survey will help us out a great deal. Wondery, of course, is home to a number of great podcasts, chief among them, a little show you might have heard of called Sports Wars. Is that correct, Dan?
Correct. I do host Sports Wars, a show about sports rivalries. That's narrative, about 4, 5, 6 episodes per story. We've done like Kobe, Shaq. We've just finished a college football arc with Texas, Oklahoma, and Florida, Georgia, or the other way around, depending on your fandom. But we did those neutral site, big, long, historic rivalry games. So they're really good to listen to in an evergreen kind of way. You don't want to, you know, be in the moment listening to college football or basketball or whatever. You just want to remember a rivalry. Maybe you forgot some details. Sports Wars.
Sports Wars. So there you go.
Sports Wars.
Fully indoctrinated into the old.
Yes.
Wondery podcast ecosystem. We're very excited about it. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I should point out here is that the Reverb line's going to be open this coming weekend, 408 Verbal 1. Saw a few people called in during the couple of games we had this weekend.
Yep.
Not going to get a chance to play those. Apologize because we're still doing some maintenance, but we'll take care of that in time for all the week one action. As always, you can follow along on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and of course, the subreddit. If you're a new Verballer, there is a teeming community of Verballers that keeps the conversation going, really. If you go on out to reddit.com/r/solidverbal, had a chance to meet our good friend Peter, who runs the Solid Verbal subreddit down in DC during our live show. And oh, by the way, if you haven't listened to the live shows yet, it's a long show. Dropped it early morning on Sunday, but you get the flavor for all 24 picks that Dan and I made in our fantasy things draft, spread out over two nights between Dallas, Texas on August the 17th and Washington, D.C. on August the 18th. That's out there.
We're already seeing, we're seeing points roll in already.
We are seeing points
roll in already. There have already been, I saw, because I selected, not spoiler alert, I selected Marty Smith committing to a bit.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be calling Louisville Notre Dame from a blimp, I believe.
Yep.
Is that what's happening?
I believe that's in celebration of the college football 150 thing, he will be up there with Ryan McGee.
In promoting the Fantasy Things show on Twitter, I just did a simple search of Marty Smith GIF, and it is literally all the GIFs that are presented are Marty Smith committing to a bit. There's no just like Marty Smith looking, just like waving at the camera.
Marty Smith always commits to the bit.
It's always committing to the bit. So that was a fantasy thing I selected, and that's already paying dividends.
And
so
Mama
do
H,
check out the Fantasy Thing show.
Mama H texted me that Chris Collinsworth was selling some sort of NBC drama.
Oh, really? On
he doesn't
what?
Count.
Oh, on a...
Yeah, no. I didn't see it. So I have to go back
Sunday
and
Night Football.
See if I could find it, but Chris Collinsworth on whatever Sunday Night Football broadcast they had going was committing
to his own bit. And Kirk Herbstreit selling Wendy's spicy nuggies. Is that what's happening?
I don't know if that's low
profile. Probably too mainstream. Yeah.
To get points for you, but it's happening, man. It is all happening here. College football is going to be in full swing before we know it. So all sorts of ways you can connect with the Verbal. We're also going to have a pick'em game. People have asked about the pick'em game.
I'm
in the process of getting that set up with our friends over at Chalkline. So stay tuned for that. The link will be up on the website before long.
Yeah. I mean, this fantasy thing that we're referencing is a broadcaster becoming a spokesperson for like a company that is not one of the 3 or 4 or 5 industry leaders in that category. Because it was like Laura Rutledge and Marty Smith for Academy Outdoor Sports.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was... So if Brock Huard is doing Dunkaroos commercials, yeah, you better believe that counts. That's what we're looking for.
So Daniel, shall we get rolling here?
Let's do it.
We have sort of semi-breaking news.
I don't know what that could be.
Well, we had Florida.
Yeah, that's right. We're doing this Monday. Yeah.
Florida knocking off Miami. Mm-hmm. This one took place at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. The first, I guess, really big game of the year happened on week zero.
Great drone shot opening the game up.
Great drone shot was an interesting scenario for young Jaren Williams, the new starting quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah.
I thought showed some promise, but ultimately Miami's offensive line overwhelmed by Florida's defensive line, something like 10 sacks in that football game.
Right.
And it really was incumbent on Florida to just win the game at the end, to not try to lose, which is sort of what they tried to do. Felipe Franks with a horrible backbreaking interception. If not for an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that went against Miami, perhaps the situation would have been a little bit more favorable towards the Hurricanes. But alas, they get the ball back late in the game. Jaren Williams has a chance to win it. There are a couple pass interference calls. Nonetheless, Florida ends up getting the W. Dan Mullen said as much at the end. Basically, what I said in the beginning, like, man, I aged a lot on that last drive en route to Florida starting off the season 1-0. What was your takeaway just generally from a very high level of this game?
Everything was pretty much sloppy. I mean, we saw explosion plays that were largely a result of bad tackling. We saw Miami all out fail to protect Jaren Williams in his first start at quarterback.
Crazy.
And I am hopeful. We'll start with Florida. Felipe Franks threw some bad passes, but seemed to be improved in terms of command and accuracy overall. I mean, he had that one ridiculous pass up the seam, which is that's the Felipe Franks experience, where you're like, ah, this guy's kind of all over the place and green and rocky, and then he just throws an absolute dime. He seemed to be more poised and in control early against a very good Miami defense, so I like to see that. Neither team could really run, and just the slop and inconsistency of playing your first game of the season against a legit opponent showed itself pretty clearly. So from Florida perspective, you get the win. That's great against what should be a pretty good Miami team. And from Miami, hopefully Jaren Williams stays alive all year long behind that line.
Was tough. That was really rough.
It was a rough watch because I thought they game planned, especially early on, pretty well for him. A lot of quick passes and screens, just get it. They knew what they had and what they didn't have from this offense. And there's only so much you can do. That kind of thing only works for so long if you don't have a next move. And Miami really struggled to find that next move. So they get a couple explosion plays. They go down the field a couple times successfully. But ultimately, Florida just had the best thing in this game, which was the favorable matchup defensive line against offensive line.
Florida with four turnovers in this game, which is something they obviously need to clean up. You see a big improvement between week one and week two, in this case, week zero and week two, whenever Florida plays next. I would expect that Dan Mullen's going to clean some of the stuff up. Miami, as you said, has a pretty good defense. So we'll see how they progress from this point forward. But yeah, definitely a sloppy showing to start things off. And that extends to the other game that we saw on Saturday evening between Arizona and Hawaii. Arizona got in a very early hole down 14-0. It went exactly the way I think you expect a lot of Arizona games to go this year, where kind of devolves into a shootout before you know it. It's all on the arm or legs of Khalil Tate. Khalil Tate scrambles towards the goal line on the last play of the game, ends up being stopped 1 yard short of scoring potentially the tying touchdown. And Arizona starts off on the wrong foot, on a sloppy foot in their own right, losing by 7 on the road in Aloha Stadium to the Warriors.
Can we fully comprehend how difficult it is to win the turnover battle by 4 turnovers and put up over 500 yards of offense and have the most dangerous dual threat quarterback in a major conference and lose to a team in the Mountain West that is not a Mountain West power? Hawaii is certainly a team on the come up. They have a lot of returning guys that should win games this year. But the degree of difficulty in doing that, and as I was watching this game, fully knowing the result, as I said, I went to sleep at halftime of Florida-Miami, no shame. Fully watching this entire game, play to play, thinking, how in the hell is Arizona going to give this away?
Yeah.
And then you see a backbreaking pick here. Then you see a bad third down play there. And just situationally, Arizona, when they had opportunities, they just blew so many of them. I think they had 9 or 10 penalties. And that's a week zero thing or a first game thing. But degree of difficulty, like not even mad.
No.
Kind of impressed.
Kind of impressed.
It's wild. Yeah.
Kind of impressed. By the way, Khalil Tate, 361 through the air.
Ugh.
108 on the ground in a losing effort.
Yeah, oh my God, to open the season with that kind of losing effort. So Arizona will be dangerous on offense. I think they look deeper than ever, skill position-wise, from where they've been these past couple of years. That defense is rough. That secondary was rough at times.
All right, so as we now turn the page and move into week one mode fully,
mm-hmm.
let's talk about some of the starting quarterbacks that have been named. I'm going to run through a list here. And just give me any hot takes or just regular takes if you have them. Ben Hicks will be your starter at Arkansas. Some thought it might be Nick Starkel, but it's going to be Ben Hicks instead.
Played for Chad Morris at SMU. So there's he's a familiar guy under center. Yeah, that's fine. I don't think it'll make a difference either way.
Matt McKay will be your starter at NC State.
Yeah, McKay was going to be the guy.
McKay was
I don't think there was too
the
much.
Yeah. So here's one. Is it Michael Penix or Michael Penix Jr.? Winning the job at Indiana.
I believe it's Penix.
Damn.
I know. I'm so sorry, 11-year-old Dan Anti.
He has won the job over Peyton Ramsey.
He has. Incoming quarterback Peyton Ramsey, who put up numbers, who had, you know, put together nice drives and streaks of action. But I think it was long considered that Penix was the superior talent. He came in as a pretty highly touted recruit. And you know, Tom Allen familiar with him from his time recruiting in Florida. So it makes sense that once healthy, because I think he tore his ACL last year against Penn State,
yep.
that he was going to be the guy if he was fully ready to maximize his skills.
He's also a lefty, which good to see a lefty
Great.
Quarterback. Not enough lefty yep. quarterbacks out there.
Correct.
Michael Penix will be your starting quarterback for the Indiana Hoosiers. Hopefully he can, you know, get the ball to my boy Nick Westbrook down the field. Maybe they can
sure.
generate some explosion plays. Stretch the field a bit. That'd be nice for Indiana. Okay, Florida State.
Next.
They are going with James Blackman. You might remember that Alex Hornibrook came over from Wisconsin as a grad transfer. Willie Taggart told me he'd have a chance to compete for the job. I think I said at one point he represented a clear upgrade over James Blackman. Apparently that is not the case. Willie Taggart going to go back to James Blackman.
Yeah, I think Alex Hornibrook was going the wrong direction from good starter town to great backupville or whatever I said during the SEC preview.
Let's go with Wisconsin here. And Jack
yeah.
Cohn
mm-hmm.
wins the job over Graham Mertz, who was the all-world everything freshman. Jack Cohn, as we know him here on the show, King Cohn, played in 5 games, started 4 last year when Hornibrook was hurt, mostly gave the ball to Jonathan Taylor tailback.
Yeah, I was not super impressed with him, though he made plays against Miami and I believe the Pinstripe Bowl, your and America's favorite bowl game on the Eastern Seaboard. So, yeah, has the experience, has shown flashes is probably too strong. Twinkles? What's a minor version of a flash? Twinkles of upside. So perhaps it's a
glimpses.
Get Mertz comfortable, and maybe by the time October, you know, I don't think it's going to be a long leash for Jack Cohn.
Your boy, Gajay Gubrud.
No, sir!
Has lost the starting job at Washington State. Instead, it goes to Anthony Gordon. He's a fifth-year senior.
Yeah.
Was a junior college transfer. Mike Leach going with Mr. Gordon, the fisherman.
Yeah, looked better. And I think Gajay Gubrud is coming off of some tricky foot situations where he was hurt last year, was beat up in the spring. So I don't know if it was a health thing, but apparently Anthony Gordon is the guy. And generally, when Mike Leach selects a quarterback, he throws for 400,000 yards. So he must be confident in him.
Chase Garbers, your starting quarterback at Cal. He beats out Devon Modster. Kind of a surprise.
Devon Modster.
Excuse me.
Yes. A little surprising, but Devon Modster wasn't starting at UCLA. He came in thinking he'd have a chance because quarterback play has not been strong suit for Cal. And I guess Chase Garbers just was better. I'm not all that confident after watching him last year that their offense is going to be appreciably better, but, you know, always open to it.
Hank Bachmeier, the new starting quarterback at Boise State. We'll talk about Boise a little bit more as the show progresses. Formerly a four-star recruit, had offers from a couple big schools, ends up going to Boise, ends up winning out the starting job. He beat out Chase Cord, who was a redshirt sophomore, and a senior, Jalen Henderson.
And so he's a freshman. He's a true freshman, I believe.
True freshman, correct.
All right, that'll be interesting. We got a couple true freshmen. I mean, we've talked about Bo Nix at Auburn, and now Hank Bachmeier here. We'll see. I am optimistic that Brian Harsin is not just going with somebody because he came in as a touted recruit or gives them the biggest opportunity to grow at quarterback. He is the dude, and I imagine they're going to be pretty good.
All right, a couple ones that I think were pretty obvious, but I'll just list them anyway. Sean Clifford getting the nod at Penn State. Jacob Eason getting the nod at Washington. Tommy Stevens, officially named starter at Mississippi State. We knew about Brandon Wimbush. We'll talk about Brandon Wimbush a little bit more here on the Group of Five show, but he will be your starter at UCF. Ryan Willis is again going to be the starter at Virginia Tech. Here's one that was somewhat interesting. Brandon Peters. Brandon Peters, your starter at Illinois, right?
Brandon Peters, starter at Illinois. There was a couple freshmen in the mix. I don't think Illinois is going to be very good with or without Brandon Peters, but hopefully he realizes, you know, something closer to what he looked like against Purdue a couple years ago. Outside of that, he's a guy. We know his name. Should be noted that Jake Hayner transferred, the guy who was going to be behind Jacob Eason.
That's right.
I imagine he thought he was going to win the competition and they gave it to Eason, or Eason earned it. And Hayner was like, yeah, I'm out. I'm out. I'm gone. So Washington down, and that's going to happen. We saw it in Nebraska last year, where somebody just does not win the quarterback competition, and they go elsewhere to find their place in the college football world. I saw Josh Jackson, official, Maryland?
Josh Jackson, official at Maryland, yes.
That's good. West Virginia, Austin Kendall, the Oklahoma transfer, Justin Fields, Ohio State, Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma, all obvious. Jamie Newman at Wake.
Yep.
Over Sam Hartman, who Jamie Newman, I think, looked a little bit more promising near the end of last season. So a couple surprises, couple young freshmen that get the nod will be interesting to see, especially now that one of them is starting arguably the biggest game of the weekend for Auburn against Oregon. But good to see the competitions coming to a close, and excited to see some new faces.
All right. So why don't we place the final piece of this jigsaw puzzle and talk a little Group of Five here on the show?
Let's do it. Play the Group of Five sound.
Oh, look at that sandwich. I'm so hungry.
Oh.
I'm so hungry.
Oh, boy.
I just hit all the buttons on the soundboard here.
I heard a double spicy. I heard you hit the I'm spicy sound twice, which, wow, feeling it.
I think it's fitting that we are recording our Group of Five show on International Dog Day, Dan.
Okay. Why is that?
International Dog Day, as in Underdog Day.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about Group of Five teams, excuse me. So we've got a number of teams here. I've got a list of 13 to 15 on my end. Just teams that were of interest to me. I don't have quite the level of depth that maybe I would, say, a Power Five team. But nonetheless, these are teams that we talk about week in and week out. Teams that certainly have Power Five opponents of note. And it would not surprise, it should not surprise, when or if one of these teams pulls an upset throughout the course of the year. Do you have a list in front of you of some of the big Group of Five, Power Five, non-con matchups that we're going to have in front of us here in 2019?
Call me crazy, Ty. And you can play whatever associated sound you want to. Right off the bat, I'm taking Hawaii over Arizona. I'm just doing it. I'm just doing it. Call me crazy. I like them in a shootout. A little sloppy. Deep passing. Turnovers. Give me the Warriors. So there's some interesting matchups. I think Fresno-USC week one, with what Fresno's done these past couple of years and what Jeff Tedford specifically has done turning around that team. New faces on offense for Fresno, but new offense entirely for USC. So I think that's a pretty worthy test for USC. If not, I mean, I think it was UNLV who's run all over USC recently. So I think Fresno stands a pretty good chance in that game.
Hey, Fresno might have been like one of the best group of five teams last year, if not
they win
best.
The Mountain West, America's group of five conference. Yes,
for sure. For sure.
On a different note, but like a more entertaining to me note, Ole Miss Memphis, I think could be all sorts of weird and fun and look a little bit like Arizona Hawaii.
I love me some Memphis this year.
Brady White, two more years.
I love two me more years. Some Memphis this year. I'm not crazy that they've got two new coordinators, but
yeah.
I love me some Memphis and some Brady White.
And they still have the Pop Coxie Magnifico trio, right?
That is correct.
Okay. We have Florida State, Boise State in Jacksonville opening the season. No okay. Brett Rippon.
No.
New starter, Hank Bachmeier, James Blackman.
I think I saw that Florida State's a five and a half point favorite in that game.
That makes sense. Boise's replacing a lot on offense, and they've replaced their defensive coordinator. I think they have co-coordinators. They brought in a guy from Eastern Washington. They promote somebody from within. So it's a newer look Boise State than it's been in a long time. But it's Madison Avenue is gone. Couple receivers, Brett Rippon. So
they're pretty stocked at receiver. I like
they're in
Boise
a good place. They've recruited well there.
They're at a good spot there. Their line should be good. Obviously breaking in a freshman quarterback. Tough spot, week one. I don't care who you are. Tough spot, freshman, week one, on the road, neutral site game, neutral site in air quotes, because the game's in Florida.
Correct.
But I think the real issue for Boise State in this one could be if Florida State can get anything going with its offensive line, which should not be taken for granted. We'll talk about more of this on our week one preview show later in the week.
Sure.
But I think Cam Akers could pose an issue for Boise State here because the front seven for them isn't a particular area of depth. I could see a situation where Boise State wears down, especially in that Florida heat, but we'll
yeah,
see. We'll see.
Ooh, Marvin Wilson's good. Houston, Oklahoma, which should not answer, but give us insight into some questions for both of these teams. Houston, obviously hiring Dana Holgorsen, bringing back a hopefully fully healed Derek King at quarterback. Replacing a lot on defense as they sort of move around schemes. I think they're going four down linemen now, moving to more of a 4-3. It's going to take a bit for this Houston defense. And you know what? It might take a bit for this Oklahoma defense, but that's also week one. I want to say it's Sunday. That's Sunday again.
Sunday
week
night,
one.
Yeah.
Houston, Oklahoma should be pretty fun, all things considered.
Is that it?
No, I got much more. I didn't know if you wanted to jump in with anything.
Well, I like
Cincinnati, Ohio State, Justin Fields throwing into a pretty nasty defense week two.
Yeah, so I like Houston. I'm excited about Houston. I'm excited about Derek King. I'm not excited about their defense. And that that
it's going to take a bit.
That game in week one between Houston and Oklahoma, I think, is a recipe for a lot of points, for sure. The Cincinnati game between them and Ohio State is interesting on a number of different fronts. Keep in mind that Cincinnati won, 11 games last year? I should have this in front of me. I want to say 11 games last year, and they did so with a freshman quarterback and a sophomore running back and a bunch of injuries across the board. So it would seemingly be going pretty well for Luke Fickell. It was only year two under the Luke Fickell era at Cincinnati. And given the fact that Ohio State, they're kind of figuring some stuff out as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Ohio State's going to lose to Cincinnati, but Cincinnati's going to play them tough.
Tulane-Auburn?
Okay.
I'm not super confident in this Tulane team overall. I like their defense a whole bunch. I like the way they finished out the season offensively. They need to be a little bit better through the air, but I think it's going to be tricky. I think it's going to be tricky for Auburn, and I believe it's the week after Oregon, so maybe a letdown situation. Wazoo Houston, we mentioned Houston, but Wazoo doing new things. Well, has a new quarterback anyway on offense, so Houston really getting tested against some offenses early on.
Yeah.
Stanford UCF, I think, is going to be amazing.
Why?
UCF, they've gotten a lot of attention because of their offense, and we saw Scott Frost, we saw Josh Heupel year one, put up huge numbers with Mackenzie Milton, and even though Daryl Mack gets hurt, Brandon Wimbush is the starter, which I'm sure you have thoughts about.
Oh, yeah.
It's their defense and just overall talent level, which they're as good as many, many upper-level Power 5 schools.
Yeah.
And Stanford is an upper-level Power 5 school, so this is just a flat-out good game. This isn't upset alert. This isn't ooh, little guy's going to come take down. No. It's a good college football game. I'm excited for this.
Yeah. I mean,
Great secondary. We're talking about Richie Grant. Really good.
We talked about our skepticism around Stanford when we did that preview. We did the Pac-12 preview. And the defense isn't what it used to be. This is a really good offense for UCF. And
I think the defense will be okay. I think the defense will be fine for Stanford. Yeah.
The defense will be fine. The line is sort of trying to figure it out and a bit questionable, but the rest of the defense should be good enough. And offensively, despite all the jokes I made about Brandon Wimbush for the last two years at Notre Dame, he still is a very talented quarterback. And he's good enough to win. We saw that he's good enough to win some high-level college football games. I think with this offense around him, he's going to have an opportunity to thrive. So this is a really good team. You mentioned the Stanford game. They've also got Pitt. They've got Temple. They've got Cincinnati. They're probably the favorite in the American East. The gap between them and maybe the next closest in the American East is probably closed, and it's not quite as much of a clear-cut thing as it was in the past, but this is still a very good football team.
I'll accept it. App State, North Carolina doesn't really intrigue me as a capital C college football game like the previous one does, but we get some insight into two new coaches. I believe North Carolina is starting Sam Howell, right?
Yeah, they always got a little bit of Baker Mayfield in them.
That's a fantasy things reference that you have to listen to. We're not just being randomly obnoxious. We're being pointedly obnoxious. And App State with Eli Drinkwitz, what do they look like bringing their quarterback back and Zach Thomas? I think this would be interesting insight. That's all I have for that.
Zach Thomas was real good last year.
He was.
App State was real good last year. App State was good. Zach Thomas was real good. Talk about a dude. He's real, real good.
Georgia Tech Temple to finish out September. Just insight again, two new coaches, one who left behind one of these schools. Great. I'm excited to see what I saw what the Tech depth chart looked like. It was like an effort-based 4-2-5 is literally what it said on the depth chart as for what system they're running, which gets my full enthusiastic support behind Georgia Tech. But yeah, Temple, Rod Carey, we'll see. I think it's going to be a new beast for him, but I'm excited for this game.
Temple's been very good at hiring coaches.
Yeah.
If only because a large number of their coaches, all their coaches over the last couple of years, their new coaches have gone elsewhere. Manny Diaz went elsewhere in a month.
Former Temple coach Manny Diaz. You're correct. Yeah.
Went somewhere else in a month. So they've proven, I think, that they know how to pick good coaches, and Rod Carey has had success elsewhere. I'm curious to see what he can do in Philly.
All right, fair enough. Where would you like to go to speak further about some of these Group of Five games and conferences?
So, Dan, here's what we're going to do on this show. Yeah. I've got this list of like 15 teams, 15 really good Group of Five teams. I want to talk through each of them, and I want to see if we can place them on a totem pole, kind of an impromptu ranking to figure out who are the real contenders, the elite level competitors who can compete with anybody.
Right.
And who are the teams that are maybe a rung or two below that? Just to try and provide some context, because again, you listed off all of the incredible non-conference matchups that we're going to see. It stands to reason we'll see some upsets there. How do some of these teams fit within the greater scheme that is college football in 2019? Does that sound like a plan?
So I think how we define the top pack of teams is they can hang with basically anybody. Maybe not Oklahoma, maybe not Clemson, maybe not Ohio State, maybe not Alabama or Georgia. But after that top, no doubt about it group, these are teams that can give anybody trouble, if not just win, just beat a team. So I'll say UCF.
Okay.
For sure is in that group. I would love to put Fresno State and Boise State in that group.
Okay.
I'd put Memphis in that group.
All right.
And I don't know if I'm there with Ohio yet, but I do like them a lot. Okay. I do like Nathan Rourke and Ohio and the Bobcats.
So I'm with you on UCF because UCF has clearly been there for a couple years.
Right.
Still a really good football team.
Yeah.
I'm also with you on Boise. Because Boise has also been there. Boise brings back a ton from last season. And I think they're at least a 16-point favorite in like seven conference games. So Boise State's going to be pretty good again. I'm all in on Memphis this year. I feel pretty good about Memphis. I don't know if I want to lump anyone else in there. Maybe Army. Do I put Army in there?
Yeah. I mean, I should have put Cincinnati in there. I should have put Cincinnati, and Army, I think, belongs in that conversation as well. They're not technically Group of Five since they're an FBS independent, but yes, we should be talking Army, absolutely, as a non-Power Five Notre Dame type school that we should be in this conversation.
I'm writing these down now just so we have them. So we've got UCF.
Yeah.
Sorry if this is confusing for you listening, but we're really just working this out for the first time here on the air. We've got UCF. I think that's a given. We've got Boise. That is also a given. Beyond that, I think we agree on Memphis, yes?
Yes.
Memphis is good enough to hang with pretty much anyone. And then after Memphis, we start talking about, all right, what about Fresno? Fresno's interesting.
Yep.
What about Army? Army's interesting.
It would genuinely surprise me if Army did not win double-digit games this year.
You have Cincinnati here.
Correct.
And then we've got, what do you do about a team like a Houston?
Yeah, I don't think Houston's there. I think defensively they're going to be such an open book, if you will, that they're going to be more of like the 7-5, 8-4 type, even if things go incredibly well in offense. It's just a year one thing to me. Dangerous, wild card, but not upper level. Could hang with pretty much everybody in college football in the way that some of those other teams could. Cincinnati has UCF, I believe, at home, and Houston on the road in consecutive weeks. But otherwise, it's a pretty good-looking schedule till the end of the year in Memphis. That's what's nice. I mean, they have Ohio State early. I wouldn't say tough. It's a sizable schedule, but I think they're at the point now with defense, quarterback, running game, that they can weather a lot.
You talked about Houston, and I think the big liability for Houston is clearly their defense. Did we mention De'Aaron King? If we did, can we mention him again? Because he's a potential 3,000-yard passer, 1,000-yard rusher. He's got an incredible grouping of skill talent around him that I think will help. My issue is, of course, the defense.
And Dana Holgorsen running the team. Yeah.
And Dana Holgorsen, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see this team being anywhere between 7-5 and 10-2.
10-2 is a big ask. Really?
There's a lot of variability there. The defense is so mediocre. It's just a matter of how mediocre do they end up being. And I think that's the difference between, honestly, 2 losses and 5.
Yeah, I think you're a little optimistic with Houston. I think it's a lot of offense, and that's sort of it. But I'm pulling up their schedule right now, and we mentioned the Oklahoma matchup and the Wazoo matchup. So don't feel great about either one of those. At Tulane's going to be tough. At North Texas, even though it's out of conference and a smaller school, I think, you know, Mean Green, even with new offensive coordinator, will be pretty tough. At UCF, Memphis, Navy, I imagine, will be improved this year after hitting a pretty low point last year. There's a lot there that's going to really push this Houston defense.
I do agree with you, though, that Houston's probably not on that level. The defense keeps them beneath that level, but they're going to be interesting. That opening week game against Oklahoma for a couple quarters could be interesting.
I think they're going to ultimately lose comfortably, but I think they have the most exciting single player offensively of any Group of Five school, and if De'Aaron King is all right, for sure.
Let's talk about North Texas, because North Texas was not on that list.
Intrigue.
Yeah. North Texas might have the best offense in one of the best offenses in the Group of Five.
You think
so? Probably the best offense in Conference USA at a minimum. But really like Mason Fine. Really like Seth Luttrell, who's been on the program before, talking through all things scheme. The defense loses standouts at both linebacker and cornerback, which I think is going to play somewhat of a limiting factor. But they're really good at the back end of their defense. They know how to rush the passer, which is nice. They've got a non-conference slate against SMU and Houston, which isn't crazy. So it feels like this is a season that has a lot of upside potential. It's just I look at the defense, and much like Houston, it's sort of tough to square that with the offense and really get a good feel for where I think this team ends up.
Yeah, they had a good offense last year. Oh, didn't always finish drives, but they moved the ball really well. It's nice to have Mason Fine back. I'm not even sure which offense I like better. I just think it's going to be sort of wide open offensively, Conference USA-wise. Defensively, there are other teams that are definitely ahead, even with what Marshall loses. They were so good last year up front. And I was very excited because I thought they were getting, I'm talking about the Thundering Herd now, I've shifted the conversation. I thought they were going to have a guy named Ty Tyler.
Oh,
which
yeah. No.
Official defensive lineman of the Solid Verbal, but he transferred to Louisville. So alas, no Conference USA, Ty Tyler, which was all name USA. So yeah, I think North Texas is going to be good, but you know, redoing a little bit on offense, but the continuity of quarterback and coach and okay skill guys should be promising enough.
They're definitely in that grouping, I think, below the very top. They probably fall along the same lines, maybe a bit below Houston, but they're kind of there in the pecking order.
Yeah, offense took a step back last year, but still good.
I want to talk about Ohio next. So
let's do that.
Ohio started the year last year 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, they played like one of the better teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They were really good over a stretch last season. And you got to be excited this year because Nathan Rourke is back.
Always. He is always back.
They've got a fair amount of depth along their defensive line, particularly at end and at cornerback. So group of five team, pretty stout when it comes to key elements of their defense. I think that's something else that I like. But they've got some issues along their line, out wide at their skill positions.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got real issues, much like my Notre Dame Fighting Irish, right up the spine of that defense. I think if you run right at Ohio, that could be a problem. That's something that Frank Solich needs to figure out. Frank Solich, by the way, is still coaching, which is amazing.
Yes. The great thing about Ohio is this was really a tale of two seasons, like you mentioned last year. And so if there is any momentum to what they did at the end of last year, which is winning, what, 6 of 7, including the bowl game, just demolishing a not that good San Diego State. But still, when you shut out a team in a bowl, that's a thing. And they don't make it to the MAC championship game, but they still look like they were among the MAC's best last year, especially as good as they got on defense, you know, in mid to late October.
So I think I put Ohio a rung below North Texas then. Mainly because of my questions on defense.
Yeah. I think I like Nathan Rourke, though, more than I like Mason Fine.
More than Mason Fine, really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He was really good. He's a senior now.
Mm-hmm.
And despite the fact that Ohio's been really good in the MAC East, they still haven't won that division.
It's true.
Last 2 years. So hopefully for his sake, that's something that they can change. Let's talk about Fresno now.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, I think, a fair amount of targets coming back from a year ago. Not the least of which is guys who can come out of the backfield and catch passes. But the new quarterback thing, Jeff Tedford in the past has been pretty good at dealing with that situation.
Yeah. And did a great job with Marcus McMarion, Oregon State, bringing him in and looked great.
He's been outstanding in his time at Fresno. That's looking like an incredible hire for the Bulldogs. I'm just not sure how high I want to rank them, knowing that this is their starting point with the new quarterback.
The defense has been great. Recruiting has been really strong, as it always should be at Fresno State. You should be able to find plenty of high-level Mountain West players. If you remember my plan, if Oregon slashed budgets by like 75%, would to be just cherry-pick whatever Fresno, Boise, and San Diego State are recruiting, because they're good at identifying, you know, those dudes that they can turn into draft-type players, like NFL-type players. Jeff Allison was one of the more recent guys at linebacker who was everywhere for the Bulldogs. He's gone, but there are bodies in the San Joaquin Valley. So I'm still pretty high on Fresno State and will continue to do so, continue to be so, unless proven otherwise. So I think I like Fresno coming out of the Mountain West again, despite the quarterback uncertainty.
Fresno higher or lower than North Texas?
Higher. Oh, definitely higher.
Higher, I agree.
Yeah.
Higher or lower than Ohio? You had Ohio over North Texas, didn't you?
Oh, Fresno's above Ohio, yeah.
Fresno's above Ohio.
Yeah.
Is Fresno above Army?
Probably, yeah. I'm always worried with Army going down, you know, 11 points and then having to change things up a little bit.
Is Fresno above Houston?
Yes.
Fresno above Boise?
Yeah.
Is Fresno above Alabama? Just shoot me straight. Let me
Fresno
know where you
stand. Well, they played last year. I believe Adam Amin called that game. They are not above Alabama. Fresno's schedule this year at USC, Minnesota to start the season off. Not easy. So we'll learn a little bit about the Bulldogs early on. But in terms of their road schedule, they travel to Hawaii, which is always going to be tricky. And I guess it doesn't work where you get like a week off before or after because they just have a schedule. They're at San Diego State. But otherwise, Utah State's at home. Nevada's at home. This was a decent Nevada team last year. I think they'll take a step back. But all in all, Mountain West-wise, pretty advantageous schedule. They don't have Boise in the regular season. I don't believe they have Wyoming in the regular season, who, you know, have been tricky at least these past couple of years, and I think are going to continue to improve. So, yeah, I like the Bulldogs a whole bunch.
You mentioned San Diego State. Last year, they had a losing streak, which was uncharacteristic.
Mm-hmm.
They struggled on offense. The defense wore down.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work out as well as it has in past years for San Diego State.
Right.
This year, they've got a loaded running back core, and they're going to run the ball a lot. This is what...
More of a spread look, but yes.
This is what they're going to do. They're going to run the crap out of the ball. And the schedule sets up pretty well for them. According to projections, they're in line for like 11 wins.
San Diego State?
San Diego State.
I think they're coming back down to earth a little bit. I think they're more like 8-9 wins.
Don't shoot the messenger.
I understand.
The numbers like the Aztecs.
All right. What? I mean, it's because what? They like Juwan Washington? They like
the schedule.
Control the ball?
The schedule is very favorable.
Yeah. They're replacing a lot on this defense, which is good, bad, who knows? But I don't think they have the pieces that they had 2, 3, 4 years ago when they were just an incredible half team, when they were, you know, keeping teams to like 5.2 points a game.
Let's move that level to App State.
Let's do it.
As we continue jumping around.
Better than Alabama. Yes, is the answer. Preemptively.
App State's got a new coach. Eli Drinkwitz comes over from NC State. He's got a really good, healthy football program.
Oh my gosh, incredibly
App
so.
State is 22nd nationally in returning production. So mm-hmm. A lot of guys coming back who have been productive. We mentioned Zach Thomas, a full-on dude. Last year was his first year as starting quarterback. The defense has been really good, very consistent over the last couple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I have with App State is that they're going to Ted Roof now.
The problem with App State is that Scott Satterfield is no longer there.
Scott Satterfield no longer there, but...
Yeah.
I have been part of that Ted Roof experience before.
That's true.
You've heard me joke about Leaky Roof on the show, dating back to his time at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what to expect. I would hope that the defense continues playing at a very high level, but I have seen Ted Roof's work before, and I reserve the right to be skeptical.
I think that's fair. They have a beatable North Carolina team week 3. As we mentioned, they get a chance at their revenge on Halloween against Georgia Southern. They're traveling to Troy, new coach at Troy, and they're at South Carolina as well later on in the season. So App State has its work cut out for them, but new coach and Will Healy at Charlotte on their schedule. I think they're going to be pretty good. I think they're going to take a step back, but not demonstrably so. 8-4, 9-3. When you have the quarterback, when you have the pieces on defense, which I always love, that combo, they're going to be good. They're going to be good. They're not going to be capital G good. They're not going to be like they were these past couple of years, probably. But I like the talent they have on this roster enough that they're going to be in every... I can't imagine them just being fully not in either, what, North Carolina or the South Carolina or the Georgia Southern game or the Troy game. They're going to be in everything, if not winning, you know, damn near double digits.
The thing is, they're still far ahead of the rest of the Sun Belt. And they're only going to be dogs against South Carolina. Otherwise, this is still a really good football team. Eli Drinkwitz picked a great situation.
Definitely.
I don't know if they're on that top rung, but they're still in a very healthy spot.
I think they're on the second rung. I do. Okay. I think they can hang with anybody on that first rung. But in terms of week to week, because we saw them hang with Penn State last year.
Sure.
So if you consider them a first rung team, I can't mount a significant argument against it. There are teams that I like in the Sun Belt. I don't think the gap is super wide. but they are the class of the league. Yeah.
So here's my thing with Army as we move on. Army plays Michigan, and all offseason we've been talking about how that's a tasty non-conference game.
Mm-hmm.
We could see that as potentially an issue for Michigan.
Army is a potential issue for anybody.
I like Kelvin Hopkins a lot. Took over at quarterback last year, was outstanding. I'm curious now to see how the line reacts with Bryce Holland gone.
Okay.
Their big-time center.
Yeah.
Will that offense still compete at that same high level? I think so. The other thing is they lost their defensive coordinator to Mack Brown in North Carolina.
I didn't think Jay Bateman was great. He was fine. I mean, so much of their defense is their offense, is that alley-oop of the offense, you know, just completely wearing down the other team and the other offense, getting a little bit cold on the sideline. Army's at Michigan this year. But beyond that, at Hawaii is going to be, that's a trip, Ty. They at least get a week off before traveling 70,000 miles from the Hudson Valley to the islands in the middle of the Pacific. But otherwise, what is the schedule? They get Tulane's tricky at home. Western Kentucky has not been good. I don't think Tyson Helton's going to do all that much this year anyway. San Jose State's been not great. Air Force should be improved, and they're always tricky, and the game is in Colorado. But UMass, VMI, Navy, improved Navy.
Yeah.
But right now, not sure it matters because Army has taken control. So UTSA hasn't been good. Rice hasn't been good. The sure thing loss is Michigan, and even that doesn't feel like a 100% sure thing.
All right. So let's do a quick regrouping here of the totem pole. We've got a few teams left to discuss.
Rungs.
At the top, we've got UCF. Underneath UCF, we've got Boise and Memphis. Sound right so far?
I would have Fresno for me in that, you know, that group.
I'm going to put Memphis above Fresno.
But why Boise above Fresno?
Both teams are going to have new starting quarterbacks. I feel like Boise's got more coming back that I feel
confident. Okay, a lot on that defense. There's a lot coming back on that Boise defense.
A lot on the Boise
sure.
defense, yeah.
Okay. I would still, I hesitate to have any sort of tier or rung with one of those teams and not the other.
After that, after Fresno, I guess we have what, Houston?
Yeah, Houston, App State, I think is in that conversation. Ohio, I think it's all...
How do you feel App State versus Ohio? I think I go Ohio.
I think I go App State.
App State, Ohio, okay.
Yeah.
In some order.
I go App State. Yeah.
Do we throw San Diego State at the bottom there?
Yeah, I'm willing to talk about the Aztecs there. Cincinnati, I think, has to be on that App State Ohio rung.
Well, we didn't talk much about Cincinnati, but let's bring them up here.
Yeah.
Since we've only
We didn't talk about Memphis that much either, but they're at the top.
To discuss, we'll bring up Memphis. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, again, won 11 games last year. Desmond Ritter was a bit of a revelation.
Yeah,
he was
really
inefficient in spots, but he knows how to use his legs. He knows how to extend plays. Mm-hmm. He knows how to work with Michael Warren II.
Mm-hmm.
The problem this year is that they are rebuilding the line. Rebuilding the line. If they can rebuild it and have some level of success, the potential here is monstrous.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Last year, the defense was very, very good, dominant against the run.
Mm-hmm.
I am very curious to see what happens now because they've got some turnover up front. If they can still perform at a high level, they're going to have an opportunity to show out against some quality opponents. You mentioned Ohio State. That run defense is going to have an opportunity to show what it can do. If they can't get that figured out in a hurry, if Ritter can't continue to play at the level we saw last year, that could be an issue.
Yeah, I think that's all reasonable. But yeah, the defense with the promising backfield, I think, is plenty to have Cincinnati in one of those run conversations. I think it's worth talking about. I mean, there are elements of teams, like even just in Conference USA, UAB and Southern Miss both had great defenses last year, and Spencer Brown is back and should be incredible for the Blazers, your UAB Blazers.
Sure.
So
right.
I think they're going to be in a nice place. Marshall, I mentioned, is replacing a bunch of dudes, but defensively, they were in a great place. What are your Memphis thoughts? You have them right under UCF.
Yeah.
And they've always been, these past couple of years, not always, so this past era of American football, Memphis has been right there with UCF. I mean, the offensive combination is super interesting.
It's going to be a great offense.
Yeah.
It will be. Brady White, you mentioned DeMonte Coxie, Joey Magnifico.
Magnifico.
At tight end. How do you not like him? The question's the line.
Mm-hmm.
The question's the line and the question's the coordinators. If they can get that sorted out, I think they're in really good shape. Defensively, they were very young a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Very young a year ago. And
weren't we all, Ty?
We were all a lot younger.
Much different world.
If they're a little better on defense, that goes a long way. I like the fact that you look at their schedule, they're probably a favorite in just about every game.
Yeah.
So for me, there are just fewer things to worry about. So many of the pieces are in place. It's really just a matter of the line, the defense playing a little better than they did a year ago, and the coordinators not screwing it up.
I don't know, again, which rung this is. I've lost count of the tiers. But Utah State's worth talking about.
Utah State, I've got them on my list as well.
They're worth talking about. What do you... Let's give them something to talk about, Ty.
I don't like that they...
Jordan Love?
I don't like that they hired Gary Anderson back.
He was good for them all those years ago.
He was. Jordan Love...
I don't like the hire, but yeah.
At quarterback is back. The receiving core, though, is entirely new.
It is.
The offensive line, bit of a question.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Their defense was so good last year, though.
Their defense was really good last year. I love David Woodward, but there's a lot of turnover at linebacker as well. Oh, and at safety while we're at it.
The thing that's rough about Utah State, their schedule just doesn't stop. That's the problem.
LSU,
I think they are.
Fresno, Boise comes to town.
They open at Wake. San Diego's on the road. San Diego State's on the road. They've got BYU in Logan, I believe.
Yeah.
But Air Force is on the road. Fresno's on the road. Wyoming's to be a tricky out. Boise's at home at least, but not a lot of weeks off for Utah State. And, you know, thank God they have Jordan Love and a pretty experienced defense, but it's going to test them for sure.
So let's round this out here.
Yeah.
We're in agreement that UCF is one.
UCF is one.
Boise two. We have some disagreement over... I guess the next three between Boise, Memphis, and Fresno.
I have
Boise next.
I'm going to take Fresno next.
Okay, you're going Fresno next.
I'm high on the Bulldogs. Yeah.
Then I'm going UCF, Boise, Memphis, and Fresno. You're going UCF, Fresno, Boise, and then Memphis?
Memphis, then Boise.
Memphis, then Boise. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a downturn for Boise this year.
After that, I think we get into the next rung is what I'm feeling here. And that next rung consists of probably Houston next, and then some combination of Cincinnati and App State.
I'm taking Cincinnati over Houston.
Cincinnati over Houston. Okay.
Yeah. I'm putting more value on defense here.
Then we've got Ohio and San Diego State also on the list.
Mm-hmm.
There are maybe two or three other teams that we need to place here before we can let the fine people go. Utah State. Where does Utah State rank on this?
They're in this worth talking about tier of group of five teams, but they're at or near the bottom.
I'm going to put them above San Diego State.
Okay.
We've also got Army in here.
I would have Army right after, like, I would have them probably after Boise, Cincy, somewhere in there.
They're going to win double digits.
I would have Ohio right around there. I think I have App State over Ohio. I believe that's what I said.
Yes.
But my memory is short.
We've also
and I want
got,
to say, I think I have to have Ohio over San Diego State.
We
the
do.
Last time
we
these
do.
Two teams played, Ohio shut them the hell out.
For sure.
Yeah.
We don't have North Texas on our list here. I have North Texas maybe right below App State.
Yeah, I got them below Utah State.
Below Utah State. Wow.
I'm down on the Mean Green a little bit. Yeah. 7-5, 8-4.
I think that's it for all the teams that we mentioned here. And I apologize to the listeners if this was a bit disorganized, but this is sort of a real conversation. We're working this out on the spot, trying to figure out where we come down on the group of five.
There are a lot of teams to talk about.
A lot of teams to talk about, but at a minimum, we have a consensus that our four favorite group of five teams are UCF, Boise, Memphis, and Fresno in no particular order.
I'm going to give you some wild cards.
Okay. Let's rifle through them real quick.
Wild cards to consider. I mean, we mentioned Tulane a couple times, but of all of these teams, they might have the best defensive line. And that is something. That is something that is significant. So I'm saying keep an eye on Tulane. They've got an angry wave logo. What's better than that? Temple was good a year ago, even with a new coach. I expect them to remain good, especially on defense. Conference USA wise, I think we covered everybody worth covering. And, you know, Lane Kiffin and FAU, you know, they have talent on offense, but man, what a step back last year. Yeah. What an incredible step back. So it's hard to see just a complete reversal again. The bottom of Conference USA is and should be rough. And that's unfortunate. Any thoughts about UMass, New Mexico State, BYU we haven't talked about? I'm kind of high on BYU. I don't know where they'd fit in among all of these teams as an independent, but with a young, promising quarterback and things in order, I think they should be okay. They just have a tough schedule. Listen to these first eight games for BYU.
Yeah.
Utah, Tennessee, USC, Tennessee on the road, Washington, at Toledo, at USF, which should be okay, not great, Boise State, at Utah State. That's the first eight. No. They have a bye before Utah State. They have a bye before USF. Well, that's a slate. And then they finish pretty nicely with Liberty, Idaho State, UMass, and San Diego State, both on the road. But I think BYU's going to be pretty good.
No, okay.
What, they go 9-4 last year?
Yeah.
9-1 team? I mean, the bowl game. Yeah, they're improving. They're going in the right direction. Other teams, at least, definitely worth mentioning from a group of five standpoint. I don't know how and where they would fit in on any sort of rung, but I mean, we barely talked about the MAC other than Ohio, but Western Michigan's still decent. Eastern Michigan had a hell of a defense last year and pulled off a couple of pretty impressive wins. NIU wins the damn conference, and we haven't really talked about them. Buffalo is good, but loses a lot, but I really think they're really well coached. Mountain West-wise, I think we hit a bunch. I mean, we hit Hawaii at the top. I think they're going to throw on everybody and get intercepted potentially by everybody. But Cedric Bird was crazy fun to watch against Arizona, and I suspect he will be against everybody else on Hawaii's schedule. Colorado State, interesting moves in the transfer game. I think they'll have an okay year, even though they lose a good amount on offense. Air Force, I think, bounces back. I mentioned that I'm intrigued by Wyoming. Nevada was a bowl team a year ago. I think they're not as good this year. And UNLV is dangerous. They are week in, week out dangerous to either themselves or to whoever they're playing. So I can't wait, honestly, for Mountain West football this year, because I think the top is sort of loosely defined in my brain, but the competitive teams in the Mountain West, I think, run pretty deep. So it should be a fun year out West.
All right. Well, please do write in. Let us know your thoughts on the group of five.
Yep.
We are going to do a preview show on, I guess, Wednesday, which will go up and hit the airwaves on Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't said it yet on the show. We did say it at our live shows. This year's Solid Verbal is going to feature a little bit of a different schedule. So typically what we've done in the past is a review show. Every Sunday morning goes up around noon, lunchtime, Eastern time here, to recap all the action. And then we do our preview show on Wednesday, which goes up late on Wednesday night. This year, because on that Sunday show, we can never quite cover the full scope of college football the way we would like, we've decided to add another show just for the season. We're going to be doing shows on Sunday, which will go up still around lunchtime, Eastern time, as well as on Tuesday morning, very early. We'll drop it around 6 a.m. in time for your morning commute.
Eastern.
Where we talk a little bit more about what went on in the past weekend of college football. And then on Thursday early morning, again in time for your commute, that will be the new posting time for our weekly preview show. So
yes,
uno, dos, tres. Three shows talking about college football every week during the college football season.
Yeah, think of it like this. It's the preview, it's the recap. Nothing really changes there. And then the Monday/Tuesday show that we're doing is trying to make sense of everything, trying to see where everything fits in, maybe answer a couple of your questions, maybe do some segments, try to stretch a little bit, not stretch in the way of like kill time, but stretch in the let's touch on a bunch of things that we don't have time usually to touch on. And in years past, we've done the deep dives on specific teams. I think those will be sort of micro segments within that newer big picture show. But we're excited to, we have fun talking about, is this team better than this team? Is this conference looking real weird? You know, if there's a guest that is going to add something, we'll have him or her on. And that's the sort of cool thing that we want to flex our lean muscles doing.
Well, there you have it. So
our lean podcasting muscles.
Lean podcasting muscles. We will leave it at that. Please do write in solidverbal@gmail.com. We will be back on Thursday.
Correct.
Posting our week one preview. We will be posting on our website.
Give that sentence. Give it some zazz.
I'm trying not to get too excited, Dave.
Okay. Oh my gosh. It's week one.
We will be posting details if you want to get in on the Pick'em game as well.
Mm-hmm.
On the website, on the Twitter feed, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual hotspots. But take a deep breath because the season is near.
It is. I'm excited.
For that, go over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrandt. We'll be back in just a few days to talk some actual college football. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.